is there was a famine in the land. Famine in the land. We're studying the life of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Isaac. We're looking at his life. Last time we looked at Isaac, and we saw that Isaac was the first one that ever entreated the Lord. It was Isaac that entreated the Lord for his sons. For 20 years, he entreated the Lord. We saw that that word means to burn incense. He entreated the Lord with a prayer life. He sought the Lord with a prayer life that was continually in the presence of the Lord. I explained to you about incense and how it gets all over everything and in everything, and it's inescapable. And the way Isaac would pray is that he would pray to the Lord for these boys that he would eventually get. He prayed to the Lord, and his prayer was like incense. And we showed you that it was like the prayer that Jesus taught to pray in the New Testament, where the widow continuously stayed in the face of the unjust judge until she got what she wanted. And this is what we want to learn to do in that particular message, is pray. Keep on praying until we get what we're supposed to have. But today I want to talk to you about the famine in the land. Famine in the land. Let's read, please. Genesis chapter 26, verses 1, 2, and part of 3. And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went up unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in the land. Where was Isaac to stay? Where? In the land where the Lord had told him to stay. Where did he want to go? He wanted to go to Egypt. Why? Because there was a famine in the land. What a famine in the land does is cause us to go to Egypt. Remember the first famine that was in, that was mentioned in the scriptures? It was on Abraham. What did Abraham do? He went to Egypt. Later on, there'll be a famine on one of Isaac's sons, Jacob. Remember that one? Joseph was involved in it. What did Joseph and Jacob do? They went to Egypt. It was this famine that drove Abraham into Egypt. And from this famine is where he lied about his wife Sarah, saying that Sarah is not my wife, she's my sister. It was that when Jacob took his family to Egypt from because of a famine in the land, that the whole nation became captive in servitude to Egypt. What do you do when there's a famine in your land? First of all, let's examine what is a famine. What is a famine? Understand that there are many famines mentioned in the scriptures. What a famine basically is, and the way I want you to understand and interpret famine, is when heaven is shut up. When there is no rain from heaven. There are many, many times in the scriptures where there are famines in the land. I've already told you about Abraham. Heaven was shut up. Abraham went to Egypt. There's a famine in the land now. Heaven is shut up. Isaac wants to go to Egypt. There's a famine in the land with Jacob. Jacob goes to Egypt. What I want you to understand is that there's a famine will cause you to do something. It will cause you to either seek God or turn from God. It was the famine in the days of Ruth. That famine, she left the land of God, went to another land. There her husband died. There her sons died. There's a famine in the land. There's a famine in the days of Elijah. Remember that famine? Elijah says in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, it won't rain till I say so. 3.5 years, it didn't rain. Why was that famine? What was that famine for? You see, the people of God were worshiping Baal and Astarte. They were worshiping the gods of the earth. And God brings a famine. He shuts up heaven. He'll get our attention. You, me, all of us, at one time or the other, heaven is shut up and we haven't been able to feel or sense or experience the presence of God. We can't get a word from God. Heaven is shut up still. We can't get nothing from God. And we run around and we'll go here and we'll turn television on, we'll turn TV in on, we'll turn Channel 3 on, we'll do something, we'll get our tapes out. We're going to try to find us a word, right? And we can't get nothing. Why? There's a famine in your land.
And so what people will start doing, well, listen, it's this church. That's what it is. It's that preacher. That's the problem. I'll go to another church. And they leave and they go someplace else. You know what? There's still a famine in the land. Because they're going back to Egypt. And there's a famine in the land. Elijah, that famine, in that time, that time where he confronted the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Astarte. He says, you got to choose. Choose this day who you're going to serve. If Baal be God, then serve Baal. But if God be God, let God be God. Serve Him. What famines will do is bring you or I to a place of deciding who we're going to serve. There are famines. First the natural and then the spiritual, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. If we can gain and understand what a famine does in the natural, we'll also understand what it does in our spiritual well-being. You become fruitless. Nothing's coming in, so therefore nothing is growing. There's no fruit being produced in our lives. We become dry. We become barren. We start running around looking for a word instead of looking for the God of the Word. There was a famine in the land. You ever had a famine? Yes, you have. Why? Why did you have that famine? Why did you experience famine? Why all of a sudden did church become dry? Why all of a sudden did your prayer life become dry? Why all of a sudden was it more important on the time that you got out of here than what you did while you were here? What happened? Why was there a famine in the land? Isaac, why is there a famine going on? One thing you always learn about famines is God sends them or allows them. Did you know that? Why did God send you a famine? Why did God shut up heaven over your life? Why is it that all of a sudden you can't get a word from God? It's not fun being here. I want to be at home. Why? There's a famine in the land. There's a famine in David's day. What did David do? Did David go to Egypt? What did David do? He sought God. He got heaven opened up because David had gotten off of his purposes. David was looking at Bathsheba. David had something else on his mind. What is the first commandment? There shall be no other gods before me. What happens in our lives as we experience famine is we've allowed the gods of this earth to cause us to misfocus off of the God of heaven, and a famine comes into our land. And David sought God, and heaven was opened. Book of Revelation, chapter 18, tells us about a famine on Babylon. Babylon, the great whore. God speaks to the people. He says, come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sin. And then you won't experience her plagues. What God will do in a time of famine is speak to you and tell you to get out of that thing. Get out of that thing that's caused you to misfocus. Get out of it. You won't suffer then the plagues that are going to come because you stay there. Because I'm going to show you in just a second or two that God's going to famish your gods. He will bring down Baal. He will bring down Astarte. He will bring down anything that comes above Him in your eyes. He'll do it. Because He loves you that much. It's not because He's mean. It's because my God is love. There's a famine in the land. There's a famine in the land. There was a famine in Samaria. There was a famine in Jerusalem. Terrible famine. You know what they had to eat in these famines? Samaria and Jerusalem. They ate their own children. You know that I watch people do that. I watch people, when God shuts up heaven on their lives, they'll take their children out of the place where they can be ministered to into a famished land. And their children are devoured. I watch them eat donkey dung. I watch them eat doves' heads. I watch them go back to Egypt. Sad. Trying to help us. If heaven is shut up over you today, if heaven is closed up over you today, I'm trying to show you why. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear the word of the Lord. If there's a famine in your land, there's a reason that there's a famine in your land. Spiritual famines. Let me show you in the book of Amos. First of all, let me show you from Leviticus 26 and 19 that God will shut up heaven. God will cause your heaven to be brass. He will cause your earth to be as brass. God will do this. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 19. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. Who does that? The Lord God. Understand, if you can't get through, if nothing's coming to you, if nothing's being produced in the realm of the Spirit in your life or in the realm of the natural, it's God doing it. It's God. Why? Because He's mad at you? He hates you? No. Why? Because He loves you. And He wants you to get on focus and on purpose to what He wants you to have and what He wants you to do. Now, look it with me to the book of Amos, chapter 8 and verse 11. All famines aren't natural is the point here. Understand that there will be a time, from time to time in your life, when we get off focus, that God will shut up the Word. God will shut the Word up. And you will start looking everywhere for it. And you won't be able to find it. Amos 8:11 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land." Not a famine of bread and water. What kind of famine is this? Nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You won't be able to hear the words of the Lord. So what do they do? Verse 12. "And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." What are they looking for? Working for the word of the Lord and not the Lord of the word. Who are you looking for? Who are you really seeking after? "And they shall not find it." Verse 13 says, "In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst." The children, the young people, will leave the presence of God. There'll be nothing in the house of the Lord for them. And the land will be dry and barren. Aren't you glad that your children aren't dry and barren? Hallelujah. But understand that the Lord will shut up heaven. He'll make your heaven as brass. He'll make your earth as brass. He'll bring a famine in your life where you can't get a word of God. Church isn't fun. Reading your Bible's not fun. Praise and worship's not fun. TVN's not fun. Nothing's fun. But you're looking for something. You're looking here. You're looking there. You go to this church and that church. Go to this place and that place. But who's really done it? Who's really brought the famine? Why has He brought the famine? This is what I want us to really get a hold of. Why has He brought the famine? There are spiritual famines. What's the purpose of the famine? What is the purpose of the famine? Why does God shut up heaven over our lives sometimes? Why does He do that? Why does He put us in a famine and the thing that we are dependent upon all of a sudden begins to dry up as well? Well, all of a sudden, does your life in the spirit realm, church gets dull. And all of a sudden, Doug, I'm not saying this is you, of course. I'm just using this as an example because you used it earlier. All of a sudden, the stock markets and the stocks that we have dries up. All of a sudden, our business goes bonkers. All of a sudden, the washing machine tears up, and there goes that money that I was going to use for vacation. Why? Why is this famine, not only is it dry to me with God, but also the things that I am dependent upon and desirous to draw from and to sustain me, all of a sudden it starts drying up. Ever experienced that? And all of a sudden we say, man, everything's going crazy. Just everything's going crazy. There's a famine in the land. And you know what you'll start thinking about doing? Going to Egypt. It wasn't like this when I wasn't in church. It wasn't like this. And you'll start thinking about Egypt. Isaac began to think about Egypt. There was a famine in the land. I want you to look at a verse with me. Look at Zephaniah 2:11. You don't have to turn. We have it here, but I want you to turn if you will. That would be good too. That's even better. I'm not using that many today. Zephaniah 2:11. And the Lord will be terrible unto them. For He will famish all the gods of the earth. Who does He famish? All the gods of the earth. And men shall worship Him, everyone from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. 2 points I want you to see here. God will famish the gods of the earth. Why is it that not only does church dry up and your relationship with the Lord dry up, but the thing that you are getting so much enjoyment from, your workplace, or your stocks, or your family, or your whatever that it is that you are drawing from, all of a sudden that begins to get mad at you or upset with you or dry up on you. Why all of a sudden does just everything seem to start going crazy? Because there's a famine in the land, because God is famishing our gods. When we get off focus, when He is not God above all gods, when we allow other things to come above Him, count on it, that God that has come above Him in your life or my life will be famished. Why? Because you shall worship Him. It's not that I want you to. He said, you shall worship Him. From your place. Your place, your temple, your home, wherever, your place, you will worship Him. Because He loves you that much. He wants you that much. He's not going to let you get away. He will bring you to a place of serving Baal or serving Him. But you're not going to walk the line. You're not going to walk the fence. You're going to choose this day. Is that all right? And He will famish your gods. He'll get your attention. What are some gods that we allow to exalt their self above our God? The God of heaven. What are some? I have seen so many. Man, oh man. By the way, this is year number 13 pastoring this church. Today. 13 years ago, Don. Where's Don? He was here. Who in the back? Back. Sheila, 13 years ago, I was spending the night at your house. That's right. We sure did. 13 years ago. Think about it. Where was I? Gods that exalt themselves. I've seen so many over these 13 years. I've seen so many gods that have come in and caused famine in the lives of the people of God. I've seen wives bring famine upon their husbands as wives would become a god above the God of heaven, and all of a sudden that husband was out of here. I've seen vice versa. I've seen husbands famish the wives. I've seen them take them out of here. I've seen famine in the land. I've seen children bring famine to the parents. They can't get a word from God. They can't get a word from heaven. Heaven is shut up because all of a sudden that child has become in a place that is superior to God. And you know what? He's bringing famine to that child. That doesn't sound good, but he will. If that thing comes before him, there shall be no gods before me. I've seen money. I've seen jobs. I've seen pets. One of the funniest ones. Funny is not good. One of the strangest ones that ever. What is these little skidoo things? Skidoo, is that how you say it? These little things you ride in the ocean and then wave runner things. Sea-doos. I watched that take people out into famine. They would rather be ski-doing or sea-doing or than worshiping God. And you know what happened? Well, that situation ended up really bad. There was a famish came upon those gods. I want you to understand that when things begin to dry up, when heaven shuts up, and all of a sudden you can't get a word from God, and all of a sudden everything around you starts drying up, it's God trying to tell you something. It's God working in your life. He has shut up heaven. He's shut up the earth. He's caused it to be brass. And you start running here and running there. Listen, that ain't the problem. The problem is you. You've gotten off focus. There's been some God that has got above him, and he won't handle that. He can't handle that. He won't handle that, and you better. There's a famine in the land. Those are some things. All of us have gods that if we allow them to, will exalt themselves above the Lord our God. All of us have them. And we get off focus, and all of a sudden, the way the Lord will begin to get our attention is there's a famine in the land. Well, what did Isaac do? What caused Isaac to miss focus? What caused Isaac? What was Isaac's sea-doo? What caused him to want to go to Egypt? What caused this famine? This is so interesting. Was there a famine in the land? Did Isaac want to go to Egypt? Okay. What was it? Do you remember, what did he entreat the Lord for? What was it that he really wanted? Children. And then here we find in Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. Read this. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. He didn't just get one kid. How many did he get? He got a womb full of kids. He got two. And the word of the Lord came to Rebekah and to Isaac. And the word of the Lord is clear. The younger will rule over the older. The older will serve the younger. Is that the word of the Lord? The word of the Lord came. And the Bible says, and the elder shall serve the younger. But which one did Isaac like? The older or the younger? Which one did Isaac want to put the birthright on? And Isaac had gotten his focus. His focus was on Esau. It would be through Jacob that God would bless. But Isaac wanted Esau to rule. Lord, I don't think there's anything wrong with me going fishing on Sundays. They can do it. Lance can preach. That's fine, Elmer, if you want a famine. Come on. There's a famine in the land. Because we allow the things that we love to do, that our gods in our life, to come before him. And there's a famine in the land. You keep studying this passage, and as you're searching and you're finding out the principle of famine, and you begin to look for why did Isaac have this famine. Look at Genesis 25, verse 28. Genesis 25. And Isaac loved Esau. Why? Because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Isaac loved who? Esau. And there's a famine in the land. Which one is supposed to rule? Jacob. But which one did Isaac want to rule? Esau. And it wasn't going to happen. we're going to have a famine. See, Isaac would disobey, would misfocus, because he had allowed one of his own children to become a god in his life, a god that was superior to the Lord his God. Somebody was making a statement last night. I don't remember. Maybe some of you will remember who it was. Maybe I probably will in just a second. It's just come to me. Somebody was making a statement. I think it was Jim. And he was, first of all, he said that his family had always been first, and then he corrected it. What did he say? No, God's always first. And then my family. And you see, a lot of times we'll even let family. See, that's the way the Lord, there can be no gods before Him. And if we put one up there, it's going to go into famishing. I don't care what it is. If it's our job, if it's our wife, if it's our children, if it's our automobiles, if it's our money, I don't care what it is, it'll dry up. Because God loves you. There was a famine. Now let Rick go back now in verse Genesis chapter 26. Finish reading verses 3 with me. You don't have that. Okay. And I want to read on because I want you to see. When Isaac got focused back, when Isaac understood that this famine was causing a famine in his land, he began to seek God and God appeared to him. God spoke to him and he was able to focus back. And you'll find out here what God says to him and we're done. Verse 3 says, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." I've told you before about conjunctional promises. Many of the promises that God has given to us, given to you or I, He's given to them conjunctionally. If you'll read your prophecies, if you'll do this, I'll do that, God says. This is a conjunction. Now there are prophecies that are a set time promise. Remember, Isaac was a set time promise. At this set time next year, Isaac's going to come. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to do nothing. This one's going to happen. But most of the promises that God gives to you or I, most of the promises in the Bible are conjunctional. Your salvation is conjunctional if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that God hath raised Him from the dead. You shall be saved, right? If you confess with your mouth, if you believe with your heart. The promises of God, for the most part, are conjunctional. This one is conjunctional. What is the conjunction? Stay in the land and I will bless you. What happens if Isaac won't stay? You're saying he wanted to go to Egypt. What happens when people have a famine in the land and go to Egypt? They don't stay where God's put them. They don't function where God's put them. They don't fulfill the promises of God that God's put on their lives. What happens to them? They lose their blessings. The blessings are conjunctional. You stay there, Isaac, and I'll do what I told Abraham I would do. And I will. Now, you or I, we need to learn from this. We need to learn from this. I will go through times of famine. Randy does a lot of gardening and stuff. Randy, when it hasn't rained for a while, what do you do in your garden? Do you let it just dry up, or what do? You irrigate it. You get it water, right? You find some way to get water there. If there's a famine in your land, in the realm of the Spirit, in your spiritual walk with the Lord, if all of a sudden you're not enjoying these things, you can let that continue, or you can fix it. You can get that thing irrigated. You can begin to seek God. And God will appear to you because He's trying to get your attention. But don't seek a word from God. Seek the God of the Word. The Lord appeared to Isaac. Not the Bible. The Lord appeared to Isaac. And when you're going through a dry time, when church isn't fun anymore, when you're not enjoying your prayer life or you're not enjoying praise, you can let that thing continue to dry up and everything around you will dry up. Your love for the Lord will dry up. Your prayer life will dry up. The thing that the God that you put above Him will begin to dry up. Or you can begin to irrigate it. You can seek Him and find Him while you seek Him and seek His, and the Lord will appear to you. And will do what He said He would do for you. So seek the Lord. When a famished time comes, it's not me. It's not church. It's not that you can't comprehend the Bible. It's that you have allowed, or I have allowed, a God to come above Him. And He's going to bring a famine, so you'll decide who you're going to serve. But you're not going to walk the fence. If you're going to serve Baal, serve Baal. Those in Babylon that were destroyed didn't come out. Didn't obey the voice of the Lord. Come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sin. You won't have to suffer her plagues. But those that stayed, those that didn't obey the voice of the Lord, were destroyed.